What was that feeling like, you know, being a lifelong fan and then actually getting to experience it in real life?
So initially I was really excited, of course, once I got hired and stuff, but going into the first practices and the first games, super nervous, because I know if you screw up, everyone sees it, and the coaches really aren't afraid to rip you. Even as a support staff, Coach Harbaugh got on me a couple times, so.
You are now tuning in to the Roughnecks Podcast with your host, Cole Nixon. Much love.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Roughnecks Podcast. We have a fun one today. It's going to be a little different because it's with the team that I'm not a fan of, but I'm not open to not open to conversations with this. But without further ado, Robbie Montagnes, welcome to the Roughnecks Podcast.
Yeah, cool. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate coming on. So, I'm Robbie. I'm a senior here at the University of Michigan studying economics. I played football with Cole for a couple of years back at Watkins, so I've always had a passion for sports and football. Was blessed with the opportunity to get into being a student manager with the team. I was with them for the last couple of years, and I'll be there one more year next year in graduate school doing that again. So I'm excited to see where that goes with the new Big Ten and all the new rules and stuff. But overall, excited to share some insight with the team and college football as a whole.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, because when did you graduate? You were part of what, Kyle Smith's class? Were you that class?
Yeah, 2020.
2020. Oh, God. I was about to graduate college in 2020. That's what's crazy. We only had, what, 1 year, 2 years?
I think
I was 17. So I think it was 1 year.
1 year.
Were you Calavini's class?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, we would have had 1 year together. That was the year actually more freshmen actually got to see a little bit of the playing time. When on my senior year was that time, because we had a handful of seniors, but like we also just had people keep getting hurt. Right. Were you hurt freshman year too?
I don't think it was like any season injury. I know I had the ACLs the rest of
Because how many ACL surgeries did you have?
I had three sophomores through senior. So
that's what my girlfriend had was three. I've never. Luckily, the only thing that ever happened to me was my elbow. So I never had much happen to me, luckily, but that I can't even imagine having to go through three ACLs.
Yeah, you get used to it. Was your girlfriend's in soccer, volleyball?
I don't know what sports she actually did hers in, but she was volleyball, basketball, and softball. And I want to say, I know one was basketball for sure, but I don't know. I want to say like at least two of them were basketball. Maybe right. One was softball actually, but I can't remember off. She talks about it, and I'm like, sure.
Yeah, but after all that happened, I kind of realized I wasn't able to play anywhere, even the small schools. So
yeah,
it was nice.
It's just not worth it almost at that point. Like if you go through that in high school, it comes to a point where it's like, it's almost bound to happen again. I feel like so. Is it even worth risking, you know, for another 4 years of football or whatever, any athletics? For a potential, you know, an injury that could potentially hinder you in your future in general. So, but to kick off this episode, I got something for you.
All right.
Since you were the fantasy football loser, I was disappointed because I didn't even get the belt. My whole goal was like, I'm going to win this league and then I'm going to have the belt right here on the table for the recordings and everything. And Evan Den won the belt, so he's got the belt. I still have not seen a picture of him with it. But you get the license plate that says fantasy football, I'm a loser. Nice. And then the magnet that goes on the car that says, please be patient, I suck at fantasy football.
Beautiful.
You don't want to, if you stick in our league, I'll tell you, you don't want to lose next year because... Me, Dante, and Reno have already been talking about punishments for next year.
Something a little worse.
And it's more than just something on your car. It might be a little painful or something. I don't know what we'll do yet. But we're also – like, it's not just going to be Dante, and Reno deciding. It's going to kind of be a collective as a group. So it'll be fun.
Yeah. I didn't do well in any of my leagues this year at all.
It was – I started out really good and then, like, went through a spell where I was like – I'm screwed. Like, I didn't even think I was going to make playoffs at one point, and then ended up making it to the championship somehow. But, I mean, my problem was.
You got second in this league?
Huh?
You got second in this league?
Second, yeah. My problem was is all my running backs ended up getting hurt, and Derrick Henry sucked half the year, so I didn't. have much to work with, really.
Yeah, I was banking on Cooper Kupp coming back this year. That's how that kind of went down.
I feel like when you draft him, it's like either really good or really bad.
Right.
But I haven't played. Like, this year is like the first year I've really actually took it serious, because like I've always played in the leagues, like you just sign up on a random league and on ESPN. I've always played in that. And this year I'm like, I don't know, I got something going on this one, so I'm going to take it serious. Like, every day I'm looking at like players and waiver wires and everything. But kind of going into, you know, the Michigan stuff. So obviously you had the ACLs and everything. So is that, were you going to go, like, was that your plan when you went to Michigan? Is that what you wanted to do? Or did you just kind of decide, you know, this is something that I want to kind of get into?
So initially coming to Michigan, I wanted to work with one of the sports teams. I initially reached out to someone with the baseball team, because I really took an interest in baseball nearing the end of high school, as that was the only thing I could really play. I just kind of got lucky in one of the business clubs I was in. I met a guy who happened to be a manager, went through some interviews and stuff, and ultimately got hired for that. Okay. So
you're obviously a Michigan fan, weren't you?
Yeah, lifelong Michigan fan. That's what I always wanted to go there.
So this has got to kind of almost make it, like, what was that feeling like, you know, that first game day even, or like that first practice of being out there with the guys? And yeah, you're a part of the team, but not part of the team. Like, you are a part of the family there, but you're not like, you know, the one on the field actually doing the stuff, but you're doing different stuff per se. What was that feeling like, you know, being a lifelong fan and then actually getting to experience it in real life?
So initially I was really excited, of course, once I got hired and stuff, but going into the first practices and the first games, super nervous, because I know if you screw up, everyone sees it, and the coach is really unafraid to rip you. Even as a support staff, Coach Harbaugh got on me a couple times. So, but yeah, I mean, I got through it, and I'm able to help some of the younger guys now as I'm starting to graduate.
So what Harbaugh get on you for?
So wasn't this last season, the season before, I was the ball spotter. So in between each play, I put the ball down on the yard line, whatever, hash. And there was a defensive offsides that I didn't hear. And so our center at the time, Olu, marched the ball up 5 yards, and he didn't like the fact that his center was the one moving the ball.
What's Harbaugh like? I mean, how much conversation do you actually have with him? Is it, you know, fairly often, or is it more just you're kind of around him, per se?
Usually we're just around him. Like, most of the managers don't ever interact with him. But being the spotter, you kind of have to be next to him at all times, because where he says the ball is where the ball is.
Okay.
So I was around him a lot for that job, but the rest of the years wasn't really around him. You aren't really supposed to talk to him. So
just let him do his work.
But he's a cool guy. He's pretty nice. And
is he?
What you see on social media is about what you get.
He seems goofy.
Yeah,
a little bit. He seems like a really good guy. I you know, Scott's going to hate me for this, because he, you know, Caleb Scott, diehard Ohio State fan, he's not going to like me saying good things about Michigan, but he seems like honestly a good guy, but he just seems goofy as can be sometimes.
Yeah, he's definitely like that.
What are practices interviews like? Are they like, I'm assuming they're super serious. Like, is it always like, I don't know, like for us in college, it was, you know, to the, like, every period was timed out, and like once you got from one, like it was a dead sprint, like you had to get to the next one, and like it was right away.
Right. Yeah, that's about what it is. It's down to the second almost. And so our job for that is to plan in advance, everyone's job, where who's getting what pads, where they need to be for each period, setting them aside so it's ready, so we're not scrambling. Because they're going to be ready to go as soon as that whistle blows.
So what exactly, like, what all did you do at practice, per se? Like, what was essentially your role?
Yeah, so for my role, I was one of the wide receiver managers. So I was around wide receivers the most, and helped out Coach Bellamy a lot. So I would see him before practice. He'd sort of tell me what we were doing for the individual period. I'd get out the cones, the pads, all that stuff. And everyone has their position coach they go to before practice.
How many of you guys is there? Like, that's what's crazy too, is people don't realize, especially at the Division I level, how many people there are almost doing the behind the scenes work. And that's not including the people that are filming practice. Right. That there's a lot of stuff going on. So how many, like, people are on the field and how many people do you guys have filming and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, so for the field managers, there's around 15 to 20 of us, I think. And yeah, there's a separate like nutrition staff with those like students, the video kids. And then the equipment managers are different from us. Okay. And there's another 10, 20 of those guys. So there's a lot of us.
Yeah, that's, and it's, is there one, or is there multiple of you guys per position group?
It sort of depends on the position group.
Okay.
And like what's needed, the manpower for that. Like the defensive backs, I think there's 8 guys.
Oh, Lord.
Because Coach Klink really liked to do drills with tennis balls and all that fun stuff.
So they're almost dogs fetching tennis balls.
Yeah, they're running around. They get the biggest workout for the practice. For us, I was the only guy last year. I got two extra guys this year, so okay. Made it a little bit easier.
So what is the team itself like? You know, everybody sees on social media, they see all the back end stuff, but they're not actually there. What is the team environment like? You know, is the team, you know, I've heard stories, not of Michigan, but of other, you know, college teams where they're dicks to their equipment guys and everything. Like, how was the team environment for you? Obviously you liked it because you're doing it multiple years. So mm-hmm. What was it like, and just kind of like, how was the overall, you know, the vibe of the team and everything?
Right. So yeah, going into it, I was initially pretty nervous to approach anyone, but a lot of players reached out to you and introduced themselves first. It was really cool to be able to interact with them, talk with them. But yeah, they're all super nice guys, all the coaches, staff, mm-hmm. players, they're all really cool. So
yeah, I always did that. I don't know why. Like, anytime we get an like intern trainer, I'd always walk up to him and be like, "What's up?" And like just start talking to him. Like, I mean, I got bored in the sideline waiting for the next drill or whatever. Like, if we're doing a team in, you know, second teams out there, so I'm just sitting there like, I'll go talk to him. And then like you come to find out some of these people, even you're used to like playing with these guys and that you play with and everything, but then like when you start actually talking to them, they're like, man, they're really cool too, and they have like some cool things about them. Like a lot of them are athletes. It's just you do have the people, like a lot of our trainers were athletes. They were just doing this in their off season so that they is it an internship that, or like a class credit, like do you get, how does it work for you in terms of schooling, or is this like a volunteer position completely?
So for me, this is a volunteer position because the school I'm in isn't like the sport management school.
Oh, okay.
But some of those people who do have that get some class credit as like an internship.
Okay.
So I'm sort of doing it as a volunteer.
It's still worth it. Yeah, it's got to be.
It's cool.
I mean, when you're sending us videos live from the Rose Bowl in the group chat, it's like, well, that's kind of cool. Not many people get to say they got to experience that, especially at that stage. So that's definitely an experience. Just to hold on, like that's something you'll be able to tell your kids about. Yep. And it'll just be like they probably won't believe you for a while, but and then they'll eventually figure it out.
Have to show them some videos.
Maybe not the video you sent us, but so you know, kind of also take me through that game day feeling. So are you on the sidelines for the games and everything too?
Yep.
home and away.
It depends if you have a game day job or not as a manager.
Okay.
So my first year I didn't. Usually they save that for the vets. Okay. So I did. That's why I got to travel around this last year. So for the game day, depending if it's home or away, we usually have a walkthrough pregame.
Mm-hmm.
And that's home. I guess it's like 8 a.m. for noon games. For away games, we have a walkthrough Friday afternoon and then fly right after that, go straight to the airport.
Mm. Must be nice. So we had to leave on we either left Saturday morning on our bus, which most of our games were in Ohio, or we left Friday afternoon and stayed in a hotel on a bus. We never flew, but all of our games were either Indiana or in Ohio or one in Pennsylvania. But I guess the year before I came in, they played in Texas and they actually like flew and everything. And I was like, thank God. Like, if we had to drive to Texas on a bus, I'd lose my mind because those buses are not that comfortable for that long.
Are they the charter buses that you guys get?
They're not bad, but when our freshman year, we had, like, the biggest class, and when you have to sit two to every seat and it's, like, crammed everywhere, like, you can't even sleep because you're like stuck like this. And
right.
There was a couple times that an offensive lineman sat with me, and I'm like, I'm never doing that again. Not happening, because I will sit with a DB or a receiver. Anybody small right. can sit with me.
Yeah, but I remember in high school we took a couple vans to Nashville for spring break to play a couple games, and I was the youngest one at that time, so everyone had their own seats in the van, and I was stuck laying in the little step that you had to get up because there wasn't enough room.
Oh, that's terrible. Oh, so what's that, you know, feeling like the first time you got to go into, you know, it is an iconic stadium, the Big House, and being, because obviously you guys don't practice in the Big House. That's where a lot of, I think, non-football fans are misconceived. Like, they don't practice on their game field. And, like, even in high school, when we had grass, we didn't practice on the game field. We practiced up on the practice field. But right. once you have turf, it's a little easier. But, you know, you don't practice on your game field, and you have a practice field. But being in the Big House for a game, you know, in front of how it's 100-some thousand fans, what is that experience like, and, like, how loud can it be?
Yeah, the experience is honestly just surreal. It's nothing you could really ever imagine, and it never gets old, no matter how many games I've been doing it. It's always just as loud. It gets pretty loud in there, 110, 115,000 mm-hmm. people. But, yeah, I mean, it's pretty special.
Yeah.
I think.
It's – what other stadiums would you say could maybe even compare to it? You know, because, I mean, the Big House – like I said, the Big House is one of the best, like, most iconic and best stadiums in college football. Like, is there any places that you played that you could maybe compare it to?
I think a good comparison is honestly Ohio State. I was there for the 22 game.
Okay.
And they were really loud for most of it. At the end, it kind of got out of their hands. But yeah. I think Penn State this year was the loudest stadium I've ever heard in my life.
I've always heard that. I think Reno's played at Penn State too, I'm pretty sure. I don't know if he has played at Penn State. I think he's played Penn State, but I don't know if it was at Penn State. But I've talked to... I've had a couple people on the podcast that have played there, and they're like, it's nuts. Like, you can't hear.
Yeah, you can't hear anything.
Like, it is so loud. Like, that's why everybody goes on a silent count, and that's what, like, everybody, like, you see the quarterbacks literally, like, yelling. And maybe it was CJ Saunders that was talking about it. He's like, the quarterback loses, like, they lose their voice at Penn State right. because they're yelling so much mm-hmm. and trying to get the calls across that you just can't.
Yeah, we had a little bit of trouble play calling. I know we snapped the ball with less than 5 seconds on the play clock almost every play, yeah. trying to get the play in, get everyone set. But
have you seen this new stuff that they might do with college football with the helmet headsets?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I don't really mind it now, because I feel a lot of the stuff that we do is because we don't have that. So they might have to cut some people in terms of labor force, but.
But then I think again, it's a great I feel idea. Like you have to have somebody, because I don't know how it works exactly in the NFL. I know, like, the quarterback gets the call, but they huddle up every time in the NFL. I don't know if we'll, like, college football, they're notorious for not huddling and just looking to the sideline, getting the call, and then going back. I mean, yes, teams still huddle from time to time. Like, it's not a non-existent thing, but I'm just curious. Like, I feel like you almost still need somebody giving, you know, at least the formation.
Mm-hmm.
But giving the quarterback the call, it's going to be interesting how they take it and where they go with it. I mean, they're always creating new rules and all this new stuff, so we'll see where it goes. I don't know if it'll be a good or bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's definitely an advancement in the game, but I mean, could you imagine giving a young guy, a freshman quarterback, a headset? And he doesn't even know the calls half the time anyway, right. It feels like. So, like, you're giving a freshman quarterback at the – I mean, imagine a freshman quarterback coming in, never playing. It's the middle of the season. You're playing at Penn State.
Right.
And now you get a headset. And it's like, now I got to try and get everything across. So I don't know. It could be good. It could be bad. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, it almost seems like they're trying to emulate, like, the professional level with the two-minute warning as well, headsets.
I didn't even know they were talking about that.
That was part of the rules thing that came out today.
Oh, I haven't even seen that.
I think they're thinking about implementing that as well.
Huh. I don't know if that – I mean, I've never understood the two-minute warning, per se. like, who was the first one that was like, we should have a stoppage at 2 minutes?
Just, an extra timeout.
I kind of like it, though, especially at the end of a game. It could make things a little more interesting. But, yeah, I mean, that could be good. I'm not opposed to the two-minute warning.
I don't mind it.
So, what would you say so far this or in your time doing this has got to be your favorite memory of, you know, being around a team and doing everything that you do? What would you say is your favorite memory as in this role?
My favorite memory, I mean, I guess it has to be the Rose Bowl.
Really?
I really enjoyed that game. Being able to run around the field as soon as they made that stop was pretty cool, seeing all the confetti, fireworks, all that stuff. It just seemed like a dream come true. Yeah, something that I never get to experience. It's almost got to feel not real. Right.
Yeah, that'd be, like, just sitting, like, even if I didn't, like, wasn't a player on the field, it'd be one of those that you're like, you almost stop for a second. I feel like I'm gonna, like, look around, like, wow, this just, like, I'm down here on the field with the guys that just made this happen, and I'm part of what made this happen. Right. So it's definitely a surreal experience, like, for sure.
Yeah, and it's cool. It's nice of them to give all the support staff rings as well, so we'll be getting those in June.
That'll be cool. It'll be the wrong color and stuff, but that's all right.
Nah. Yeah.
I mean, say what you want about everything that happened throughout Michigan's season this year. They were a good team. Yeah. There's no denying it, and I've gotten arguments about this with Ohio State fans, and it's like, they win. You can't compete with winning. Like, if you win, you win. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But, you know, kind of going off that, I'll go into it a little bit. What was it like with the whole – we won't dive into it super far, but, like, when the whole Stallion thing and the cheating allegations, what was it like in the locker room with the team? What was practice like? What kind of – like, how did the team take it and everything? Like, how did everything go?
Yeah, so we first found out about this. We were on the plane to Penn State when the news broke. So I had Wi-Fi on my phone, but I don't think everyone else had not everyone had the Wi-Fi. But yeah, once we landed, I think that's when Coach Harbaugh got the news. And the team seemed, honestly, a lot more focused. Like, they wanted to. I know it seems like a little cliche. Like, they all tweeted, like, bet.
Yeah.
Like, that was the whole thing. But, I mean, they really took it to heart, I feel like. And that's what helped them to get that win over Penn State. But yeah, at practice, Coach Harbaugh was allowed to be at practice.
Yeah.
So he was able to help out there, but he also sort of pulled back and let Coach Moore do his thing to get prepared for Maryland and Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, overall team was really focused and they knew what they wanted.
Yeah. I mean, it was definitely news that broke everything. Like, it just, the thing that drove me nuts about Ohio State fans is they had no freaking clue about any of this. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, this is why they won last year. This is why this. And I'm like, shut up. Just stop. Like, I'm an Ohio State fan, but Ohio State fans drive me insane. Like, absolutely insane. Because I'm like, we're so many people are too diehard and they have blinders on.
Right.
To what's really going on with the circumstances. And, you know, the fact of the matter is whether it's true, whether it's not, they still won. And, you know, the whole cheating thing that I go back to is the fact of, if it was, you may be able to know the call, whatever. I knew calls in college. You still have to execute.
Right.
Does it make it easier? Maybe the slightest, because you kind of know what's coming. But guess what? They also know what's coming, too. So they know what they're doing. That's the thing as a defender, especially. When you know what they're doing, it's a little easier. But they also know what they're doing, so it's not going to be easy for se. So I don't know. It drove me nuts. And whatever happens, happens. It doesn't – I don't care.
Yeah.
Which now he's at the Chargers?
Chargers, yeah.
Harbaugh's at the Chargers. What – you know, did the team – take that as good, bad? Like, you know, there's always, you know, you have those coaches that leave, especially after you win a national championship. How did that kind of go about, you know?
When that, I haven't really been in since that happened, haven't been able to see many of the players or anything, but The fact that we got Coach Moore into the head coaching position is really good because, I mean, he knows the culture. He knows what needs to get done.
Yeah.
And so there isn't much – there isn't going to be much turmoil in terms of coaching changes, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, that does help having him. A guy who you can tell is doing things for the team. Like, it's for the team. He seems like a good coach. And, you know, I only watched him for one game, so I don't really know much about the guy other than that. But – he seems like a guy that does things for the team and, you know, being happy for his – some people make fun of it, the way he handled the interview, but I can't say I wouldn't be the same way after beating Ohio State as, you know, just the interim head coach at the moment. And, you know, that's the biggest game of the year, arguably, for both teams, especially at that point. That was the biggest game of the year, I'd say. And it's definitely a surreal experience as a coach to be able to go and be, you know, your arch rival in a game like Ohio State, Michigan, that does mean so much. That's a lot of – it's always funny when people don't know, like aren't from – like aren't Ohio State or Michigan fans, and they're like, you guys go crazy about this game. And it's like, you just don't understand. Like, there's a different vibe to this game. What was the vibe like for being around the locker room and everything for that Ohio State, Michigan game?
Yeah, I mean, you could just tell the air was a little different that morning. It's just pure hatred between the two teams. hatred, but respect.
Yes.
It's not like unhinged violence on them, but I mean, it's different. For sure.
They both have one goal, and it's to beat the other one, and they'd like to blow the other one out. They don't want it to be close. Obviously, you want to blow everybody out, but like that game especially, I feel like I'd want to rack up 100 points or something. Like, it's hard. It'd be hard to hold back on an arch rival like that. And I've heard people, would you say that Ohio State Michigan is the greatest rivalry in all of sports?
I would think so. I know a lot of people try to make the case for Duke UNC basketball, like Navy Army football too. Some people make cases for soccer games. I'm not too in touch with soccer. I would think so.
I'd say the only one that could probably, I'd say, come close is North Carolina Duke. But I still have to go Ohio State Michigan over it because I do know that the North Carolina Duke, and with them being so close to each other, that definitely adds. But, like, I mean, Ohio State Michigan, it's only one state away. So it's still super close for them as well.
Yeah, I know they camp out in tents to get, like, good seats in those games, which is crazy to me.
I grew up also in North – my dad was born in North Carolina and stuff, so I kind of have – like, I like North Carolina a little bit, and I really like North Carolina basketball, and that's always been one of my dreams, like, is to go to a North Carolina Duke basketball game, and I want to go to it at North Carolina. But, I mean, those tickets get pricey. Same with Ohio State Michigan. Those tickets get pricey quick. Which I just went to an Ohio State women's basketball game, which they're number two in the country. Those tickets are $15. So it's like you can get one of the suites at an Ohio State game for like $500 that fits like 18 people. And I'm like, shit, I'm about to – if they're good again next year, me and some of my buddies, we're just going to pitch in money for a suite and sit in those. I mean, because they're good seats. They're not like they're bad seats. So I don't know. But what's the scene like after beating Ohio State, campus-wise, locker room-wise, and everything like that?
Yeah, it's just pure joy, pure celebration. I know we rushed the field. We rushed the field this year. It was home game. And then, everyone just goes out to the bars. The streets are packed with people. You can't drive a car in Ann Arbor because it's, like, every student is just packed everywhere. It's great, and we get Sundays off, so that's nice.
That is nice. That was always the best thing, because if I had to go in on Monday or Sunday, I don't know if I'd make it. Who would you say is, like, your favorite player that you got to be around, one that, you know, you respect, and just being able to be around them is kind of a, you know, an honor almost?
Yeah, this might sound a little just like, I don't know how to put it, but I mean, JJ, of course, he's the proverbial captain of the team. Everyone follows what he does because he leads by example. Super great guy. Like I said, my first day, a lot of players introduced themselves to me, and he was the first one to do it. He came up to me, shook my hand, and so I've always had a sort of respect for him, the way he carries himself, and hopefully succeeds at the next level. Yeah. I'm rooting for him.
I think he has a real good chance. I mean, obviously, I'm no expert, but I don't know. I mean, you can't. I don't even trust Ohio State quarterbacks when they go to the draft. So
Stroud's having a
Stroud's like good Stroud so is far. The only quarterback in my lifetime I think I've seen go to the NFL and actually do well quickly, especially because like growing up, Troy Smith, like you know, I thought he was going to be a stud, and he didn't really do anything. Haskins, rest in peace, didn't really do anything. Fields. Kind of getting screwed a little bit. I don't know. It's
maybe
those,
he'll get himself into a better situation.
If he doesn't do good in another situation, though, it's Fields. So, but I don't know. It's definitely. I don't trust Ohio State quarterbacks. Now, Michigan quarterbacks, obviously the greatest of all time. It's hard to deny.
It's been 25 years since that happened, though. I mean, we have Henny. He did all right.
Yeah.
But other than that, JJ's the next up.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's gonna be. So you guys also lost a lot this year. Do you think that's gonna be? Do you foresee? I guess I don't want to put you on the spot with this, but like, how do you think it's gonna be affect the team with losing as much as you guys are losing, especially key factors like JJ, who, like you said, is like the leader of the team.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be a much younger team this year. Objectively, some of the guys are gonna need to step up. Mm-hmm. I don't know who the quarterback's going to be yet. I know we have Tuttle back, Denigal's back, Orgy. So we'll see how that shakes out. But people are going to have to step up and be leaders. Donovan Edwards is another great example of a leader.
Mm-hmm.
Very outspoken, very...
He drove me nuts because he was so good.
He was good in big games, that's for sure.
He was. He ran so hard.
Yeah.
That's what made it so difficult. If I was a Michigan fan, especially, I'd be like, I freaking love that guy. And you can tell by the way he carries himself. Like, he is very humble, it sounds like.
He is very humble. Loves God.
Yeah, that's a...
Very great.
Good combination there. Shut up, Kat. But, so what was the... obviously, you guys pretty much knew you were going to the college football playoffs. Did you guys have, like, a watch party for it and everything?
For the selection show?
Yeah, for the selection show.
Yeah, so how that usually goes is we'll play the Big Ten Championship in Indy the night before, sleep in the team hotel after the game, and then we'll have, like, the team breakfast, and we'll just be sitting in the ballroom or wherever, just waiting for that to go on.
First off, what is your guys' team breakfast like? Is it good?
It's good enough. Okay. It's just like a normal hotel breakfast. Yeah, they have the eggs, bacon, sausage.
That's how ours was too. I just wanted to see if it was that much better. I mean, it had to be a little bit better than ours, but I mean, I only played D3, but
yeah.
So yeah,
it's nothing crazy.
Yeah. That's what people think. They also like, they get these, but you get like, don't they like it? It's almost hired out. It's almost like the hotel caters it.
Yeah.
Is that the same for like dinner too?
Mm-hmm. Yep. But it's the same thing for each game, usually. So it's like their hotel stuff.
Yeah. Hotel staff, I swear they got us sick one time. There was one time we all ate dinner, and then I was up in the middle of the night in the bathroom. My roommates were in the bathroom, and then we're on the way to the bus, and they're giving everybody anti-diarrhea pills. And we were also wearing white jerseys that day. Needless to say, that game did not go well for us.
Yeah, I always thought about that with seeing like they had the steakout, the seafood the night before the games.
If something goes bad, it's not fun, I can tell you that. Especially like when you're on the field. Like we had players that would come off, like one of our linemen came off after offense and like he told the coach, like, I gotta go. And so like he missed the whole series because he was going to the bathroom.
Not ideal.
We had to run all the way around the field because the locker room was on the opposite side of the field. So it was not fun. But, so yeah, kind of going back, the selection show and everything.
Yeah, so we were just eating breakfast, watched the selection show. And then pretty much once that was done, loaded on the bus, headed to the airport. I think they flew. The players flew to Indy, but we drove on a bus just because it was 3 hours, 3.5 hours. Wasn't too bad.
Yeah, Indy's not a bad drive. I'll be there in a couple weeks.
For what?
Supercross race.
Oh, nice.
So, that stadium, too, is just awesome. Lucas Oil, it's one of, I mean, obviously I can't compete with the Rose Bowl, but it, like around, I'd say like locally, especially, it's one of the best like stadiums. It's just a, I don't even know how to explain it. Like, it doesn't seem real when you walk in sometimes.
It's huge.
Yeah.
It's a lot bigger than you think it is.
Because everybody, like, it looks from the outside, it doesn't even look that big. But when you get in there, it's just like, it's like it opens up all of a sudden. So.
Yeah.
So you got, you drew Alabama first.
Yep.
That game was also nuts. Which game was the most nuts of the year?
It's got to be between Ohio State and Alabama, but I just think Alabama takes it because of the fact it was the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, Rose Bowl, chance to go play in the national championship.
For the first time.
Yeah, so that, I remember watching the end of that game, and that was, and now Ohio State has their center.
Yeah, I was stressing out.
Oh, I would be too.
Like, my job for last year was to hold, like the boards with the pictures on them. Mm-hmm. I was one of those guys, so I was sort of going up and down the sideline with the offense, and I was shaking for the last couple drives.
Make sure I hit the right board. You ever held the wrong board?
I don't think I've held the wrong board in a game, but there's been a couple times where it's taken a little bit to get it up. Like,
to
it's
find
a little
the right
late.
One.
Yep.
'Cause how many is there? I mean, how many do you have to scroll through?
I know. So there's three of us. One of my buddies holds 40.
I have
36, I think. And they're not light boards either. It's a shoulder and back workout for sure when you're running up and down the sideline.
I need to get in with Reno a little bit more.
Yeah, he helped out with that, that's for sure. And so yeah, those first few games, like East Carolina, UNLV, was a lot worse because we got a lot more chunk plays, having to run up and down with those boards a lot more.
Damn, 30, that's a lot.
Yep.
I mean, hell, we had like three in college. Everything for us was hand signals. But what was I going to say? I completely lost my train of thought there. I don't know. But so Alabama and then go to the national championship. Now, where was the national championship at? I can't remember.
That was in Houston.
Houston.
NRG, I think.
And played in the national championship. Got to be a part of a national championship football team.
Yeah.
What is that? Like, how does that make you feel? Like, to be able to say I was, like, a part of that.
It still feels pretty surreal to be able to know I can look back and how many ever years and say I was part of that team. Mm-hmm. Especially, like, because people looking back now at our 97 team that won, I guess they sort of split it, but it's cool to be able to say that I was part of that and to be able to tell my kids and show them all the fun stuff I got to do.
Yeah, that's definitely, I mean, you got to experience something, like, I mean, just even not as a player, just to be able to experience that between the coaching stuff that happened, the Rose Bowl, the Big Ten Championship, Ohio State, Michigan, the National Championship, that's a season that will be talked about on ESPN and all that stuff for, like, history. It'll be talked about for a long, long time. And to be able to say you're a part of that, it's got to be one of the coolest things. And it almost, like, probably can't feel real at times.
Yeah, it is really cool. So,
but, so what do you feel about this new Big Ten? Because now that we have, you know, it's not just the Big Ten, and they split what they do. They quit the divisions. There's no divisions anymore. Is that right?
I think that's right.
Yep. And then now we have Oregon, UCLA, Washington,
Texas, USC.
USA.
I forgot. So those four.
It's no longer the Big Ten. It's the Big 30.
I don't even know how many ever there are.
That's what's crazy about it. What do you feel about it? Like, do you think it's going to add to the conference, or is it going to make the conference – obviously, it's going to make it a little more difficult.
It's going to be a lot more competitive, I think, with all those bigger teams that are historically a lot better. Texas, I know we play Texas and Washington next year. I'm excited for those games. But along with that is a 12-team playoff.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what that'll do for the game, in my opinion, considering it.
Yeah.
If they're both undefeated going in, and it takes a little less away from that game.
Yeah, and then, like, they may turn around and play each other again. Well, and, yeah, because they could play in the Big Ten. So they could end up potentially playing each other three times a year.
Yeah.
Which, a lot of stuff would have to happen the right way for it to happen 3 times a year, but 2 I think is more of a likely option than 3. But I mean, heck, that's what's weird to me is, like, if you play a team and then have to turn around the next week and play the same, because it's
hard to beat a team twice.
Yeah, it is hard to beat a team twice, no matter who. Like, it's very difficult to, especially you see it in other conferences that do have to play each other, you know, in their conference championship that they already played during the regular season. But it is very difficult to beat a team twice. I don't know how. I get why they did it. I don't know how I feel about it, because it's going to add a wrinkle into things.
Yeah.
But adding Oregon and, you know, these other teams also, like, it could open it up, because it's going to be interesting to see, you know, because Oregon's been fairly good. Washington, obviously, has been good. I don't know how they'll be this year. We'll see. And then Texas, you know, Texas is always back, apparently. But
they'll be good next year.
They will.
They got viewers back.
Yeah. And they still got Arch Manning sitting on the bench making more money than I'll ever make in my life. That's what's crazy to me with the NIL. How do you feel about the NIL? You think it's, I mean, obviously I think it's a good thing. What do you think about it?
Yeah, I think it's a good thing the players are able to do things for themselves and not be just under control of the NCAA.
Yeah, I'm just happy
the
they're bringing the game back.
Yeah, but with the transfer portal, it can get a little weird at times. So yeah, you got to be careful with that.
The transfer portal, I don't want to say it's ruined the game, because I don't think it's ruined it, but it's made it, it almost makes it more like professional football. Like, you don't
find, it's like free agency.
Yeah, that's essentially what it is. But everybody's always a free agent whenever. I mean, they're always a free agent. So that's what's weird. I don't know how I feel about it. It's just, it's different. I mean, but I think, like with NIL and with the transfer portal, they almost need to maybe put a limit on it to where, like, you can only transfer up to X amount of times or that kind of stuff, which could be good and bad at the same time. So I don't know. We'll see how it goes. Because I've never had a problem. Like, because what a lot of players started doing was, you know, their fifth year they went to a different school and that kind of stuff. So, like, I don't feel like there's any issue with that. But it's interesting to see you know, you'll watch players bounce around. They may be at 4 schools in 4 years. You know, it's possible. Yeah. And anymore today, you can apparently play like 8-9 years in college football.
Yeah, I think it's a little too early to tell with it about the transfer portal stuff. So we'll just see how it goes from there. But
it's worked out well for Ohio State this year.
They've done a great job in the offseason.
Every time something else came out, I'm like, no way. And I'm like, oh, he actually did sign with Ohio State. Because I'm like, it just kept coming. I'm like, this is nuts. Like, I couldn't believe, especially the Alabama safety. And, I mean, I could see Will Howard. I could see. I never knew of him really until. I mean, I knew of him a little bit, but I didn't really pay attention to him until he signed with Ohio State. So that's.
Do you think that's the guy, or?
That quarterback room's deep. I mean, I don't know. So, I was a McCourt fan.
I was too.
I golfed with I golfed with him this summer. That might have been part of the reason I was around him a little bit. And he's just honestly, he's a very genuine guy and super, like, he didn't treat me any different and didn't treat the people I was with. Like, he just acted like a normal dude. Right. He was actually at the Watkins football golf outing.
Yeah, Reno told me about that.
We were golfing with him. Oh, Reno texted me and was like, keep this hush hush. And I'm like, dude, like, he might be the starting quarterback. but, yeah, I don't know. And Ohio State fans are so quick to just tear everybody down. I don't know if Will Howard's the guy. I don't get to see practice. I don't get to see. That's where some people, like, during the year were like, you know, they need to put Devin Brown in. They need to bench McCord. And it's like, you guys don't know what goes on at practice. Like, you can see at practice the difference in players. You know, maybe Devin Brown should have been. We don't know. Because you see a lot of things come. And I'm sure it's the same. Like, you guys are getting top talent. Every D1, especially at this, you know, that stage, that high-level D1, you're getting top talent at Michigan. I'm sure you see it there where there's players that have all the talent in the world, but they don't work hard whatsoever.
Right.
And that's why they don't play.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I'll see these outlandish things that people – post on Twitter or whatever, and they're not even unpopular opinions within like social media, but you see what goes on at practice and it's sort of a different story sometimes.
It's gotta be hard sometimes not to be like, this is not how it is. Shut your mouth. I know you're an ESPN analyst, but you have no idea.
Right.
Man, I feel like it'd be so easy to be an analyst for ESPN. You just guess.
Yeah, you just say whatever you want.
Yeah, and they get away with everything. But, yeah, it's definitely – I don't know if Will Howard's the guy. We'll see how it goes.
Aaron Nolan, too, right? Is he coming
Aaron
this
Nolan,
year?
Aaron Nolan, yeah, he'll be there. They just got, what, that other Julian San, whatever.
They got
Alabama.
Him, too.
Yeah, he's the Alabama guy. They have him. They have Brown. They have whoever Brown's backup. I forget his name. That we have like six quarterbacks that are all talked about. So I don't know. We'll see how it goes. And then the running back room's deep. The wide receiver room.
They're always deep.
Yeah. I mean,
you'll always have someone.
Yeah. How worried were you about Marvin Harrison Jr.? I mean,
that dude's a freak, man.
He's nuts. Like every game, I feel like he made a catch that you're just like, how? Yep. How did that even happen?
Right. And it's like when you look at the box score, like against us, he didn't play particularly well, but then you looked at the game and he was making catches, getting tackled and like one hand and all that, and you just don't know how he does it.
My thing about him is like his sideline catches where he's like completely up in the air and like completely like flat backwards and just like taps his toe inbounds. And I'm like, my ass would just be like, hold on to the ball. Hold on to the ball. So, he's definitely a freak. Who would you say is, like, that guy at Michigan that you're like, that dude's just different? Like, athletically, just different. Or did I say Ohio State? I meant Michigan.
Oh, for Michigan? Yeah. That's tough. A lot of the guys on defense are freaks. Mm. Like, Mason Graham, insanely good. Him and KG are going to be back next year, so that interior D-line is going to be insanely good.
It's always a good thing when you have your starters coming back.
Yeah.
Which, don't get me wrong, you go to the NFL, I kind of get it. But anymore today, too, with NIL, some of them are making more than they would their rookie year. So, right. I mean, if you're a late draft pick, it's almost worth staying another year to try and get a little better and then go to the NFL.
Yeah, make some money while you're at it.
Yeah, I mean, I have heard that the whole thing, I don't know if you saw with like Marvin Harrison Jr. and how much money he was offered to stay another year. Like they were trying to get him to come back another year in like NIL. There was like an NIL deal that was worth like $10 million to come back and play another year at Ohio State. And I've got not an inside source, but a source that knows the inside source. And he was like, that's all bullcrap. Like, that didn't really happen. Okay. Like, there was deals thrown out there, but it wasn't $10 million and all that. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. Social media starts to blow things up out of proportion. And I was a little questionable, though, because, like, he didn't announce for the longest time that he was going to the draft. And I was like, it's starting to get a little late. Like, right. You got players that you didn't think were going to the draft that have already announced. Like, why isn't he?
Yeah. It was the same thing with Stroud last year. I think Stroud was pretty late in announcing. People thought he was going to come back as well.
Yeah, they really did, which
would have been good for them.
God, that could have made Ohio State. That may have pushed Ohio State to a national champion. Like, helped. It would have definitely helped. It wouldn't have hurt us to have Stroud. But, I mean, Stroud, I'd say, made the right decision because he's doing big things. Yeah, but
doing well.
Yeah, it'd be... Yeah, that would have been nuts to have him back. But, I don't know. What would you say would be, like, the scariest position? If you had to go out, if you were thrown out on the field, like, which position would you want to do and which would you really not want to do?
I would not want to be anywhere in the interior.
Oh, absolutely.
Just because those guys are absolute freaks. I feel like being a corner, it would be humiliating. But it wouldn't hurt. You'd just be left in the dust. But, I mean, I feel like I would rather be a quarterback.
I was going to say, I knew you were going to pick quarterback. You at least have a knowledge of quarterbacks. So, like, it would be a little easier for you. I feel like anywhere on the defensive side of the ball, I'm getting lost. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I
wouldn't want to play defense.
Like, especially, I learned in college, like in high school, you knew walk-ins. Like, our defense was basic. Mm-hmm. Like, it may have changed a little bit for you because you got to play under the new coaches, didn't you?
Yep.
So you may have changed a little bit for you with them, but I know for us, like, Coach Warrington, base black.
That's
base. And then we'd blitz every once in a while, but, like, it was base black all the time. I got to college, and, like, day one of install, I'm like, oh, this isn't that bad. Day two, I'm like, what the hell is going on? And we got 15 more days. So I'm like, this is nuts. But, yeah, I don't know. I'd probably, if I had to pick one to go out and play, I may play – I don't think I'd play safety. Not at the D1 level. I wouldn't want to go out there and play safety because I'd be way too slow. I was way too slow to play safety in general. I may – give me, like, a receiver.
Play a little slot receiver.
Just so that way, like, I'm covered. Don't throw me the ball. I definitely would not want to play.
Yeah, receiver wouldn't be too bad.
Don't put me on the
defense. You wouldn't be in there very long, but...
No, definitely not. Surprisingly, they put me at corner when I was in college for a year. I started at corner for 10 games. And
it's a hard position. It's the toughest one in football.
Well, we used to run a lot of man until that year. Then we ran a lot of zone. I was too slow. Like, I can't keep up with these guys. I mean, even at the D3 level, Wittenberg, they get transfers from D1 schools. Wabash gets transfers from D1 schools. Like, Wittenberg, one of the receivers, played at Kentucky. He actually, like, played in a few games and got kicked out of Kentucky or something. And went D3 and played against him. Like, he was fast. I'd be at safety, and he'd outrun me. So, like, what am I supposed to do at corner? Yeah. Like, I can't guard him. But... kind of going back to, I wanted to kind of talk about a little more about, you know, Harbaugh and being around the coaching staff. Like, was it serious 100% of the time that you guys were around them, or did you ever get to see, like, you know, kind of the other side of them, of not serious, you know, completely serious?
Yeah, you got to see both sides usually. I mean, obviously depends on the week, time of the week, what game's coming up, stuff like that, but I know Coach Harbaugh liked to call himself Cool Jim sometimes because he was pretty chill at some points. But, yeah, a lot of the coaches like to have fun. Like, Coach Moore is always having fun on the sidelines. He's, like, dancing around in between plays, like, just doing his thing, having fun. And I think that's a big part of what made us successful. Like, we were out there having fun doing our thing. So,
did you guys have music at practice?
Yes. We had music. A lot of times for the away games, I know, like, it went out that Coach Prime was doing this, but most teams do it. They'll bring out really big speakers and pump, like, super loud music and crowd noise into the practice.
Yeah.
For Penn State, that was brutal because the speakers were right in my ear, and I couldn't hear anything.
Oh, man. So, yeah, we had music playing during practice, but those privileges can get revoked real quick. We started screwing around. What's that feeling like of when have they ever gotten, like, where there's a point in practice where they're like, everybody just get on the line? Like, you ever had that point in practice?
He won't make everyone, like, they won't start doing, like, conditioning or anything, but, like, he'll, if people aren't focused and a lot of the plays are getting screwed up, he'll bring everyone in and
give them a little talk. Chat with
yeah,
them.
A little bit.
I was going to say, at that, well, see, that's the thing, too, is, like, people are probably like, oh, and then he can just kind of sit back. No, like, you still have to take your job serious, because your job is important. It's not like you're just, like, a guy that's just on the field, like, hanging out. Like, you actually have stuff that you're doing.
Right. If we don't do our job, then the play's wrong, and then Coach Harbaugh's yelling at Coach Moore for giving the wrong play, when in reality it was, like, our fault.
Just that chain of command starts to go down.
Yeah.
That'd be a little nerve-wracking, especially during the game in a big situation like you talked about during that Alabama game. It's like, I have to.
I really hope I don't have a board to do.
Yeah, like, give me something easy this time. I don't want the pressure on me.
Yeah.
But, so you're going back for another year. It'll be your fifth year? Or fourth? Or you're a senior this year?
I'm a senior this year. I started my sophomore year in spring, so technically next year's my third season.
Okay.
So I haven't been here too long, but...
What are you going into school for?
I'm going to do the Master in Management through Ross. That's, like, business. So okay.
Good for you.
Just an extra year of
Well, it's worth schooling. It. it, like, yeah, I mean, I think it's worth it, especially it's like Scott went back for his I feel like he played like 12 years. He always got called grandpa, which he deserved. But he got his master's in a year. So like it's kind of a year and a half or something. So mm-hmm. it's kind of worth it. It's kind of worth being, and you get to experience that again and be a mm-hmm. part of that again. And let's be real here. It's a giant resume booster to be able to put that on your resume. Like to be able to say like I was a part of the national championship team. Like that helps.
I still need to update my resume. With that,
I don't know if I ever really had one. I did apply to jobs. I just still worked the blue collar job that I had that I got nothing throughout college. Well, it's one of those that I look at it as a company that I can grow with, because I started with him when he was fairly small, and now it's growing even more. So getting to experience all that, and it's everybody goes their own path, and that's just how it is. I mean, heck, we both went to people that we look at now that didn't even go to college or did go to college, and now they're working fast food restaurants. Right. So, I mean, nothing against them, but everybody has their own path.
That's right.
You talked a little bit about the size of, you know, some of these players. Yeah. Who was somebody that you were by that was like, you're just really big, like you're a monster?
Yeah. Kenneth Grant is one of the biggest guys I've ever seen. He's a monster too. And it's like that from when I first got there, most of the players I looked at like that. Yeah. But as time went on, I sort of was able to familiarize myself with the players and my surroundings. So there's only a select few that I'm still just baffled by the size of.
Yeah. Is there anybody, like, did you know most of the players going in, or was it, I mean, obviously you didn't know, like, all of them, because, you know, nobody ever knows, like, the lower-end guys, but was it, you knew a lot of them when you went in there, or was it kind of like a learning experience, like, all right, I know who you are, I know who you are, but I have no idea who you are?
Yeah, going in, I knew a lot of the starters, of course, mm-hmm. like most fans do, but it was cool to get to know some of the bench guys, the guys coming off the bench, and even the scout team players, and they're all equally, like, nice. They're all nice dudes. They all treat you the same, so being able to get all their names and to learn more about them is pretty cool. Yeah. To just have them as a friend rather than just seeing them on TV as players, you get to know them, and because they're not just players, they have families.
Yeah.
They have career aspirations too. So,
do you ever look at yourself on TV?
I always turn my phone after the game and have like a million texts of pictures of TVs.
People looking at you on the TV. I mean, I do this exact same thing. I guarantee it. I don't know why I never really paid attention. I get a two tunnel vision on the game usually. So, but like, I never really thought to even look when you guys were playing Ohio State. But
yeah. My friend, who's also a manager, before the Penn State game, they had a graphic. It was a graphic of JJ and Drew Aller, except my friend looks very close to Drew Aller. So it was actually just him. It was him and JJ on this quarterback graphic pregame.
That's funny. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, man, I appreciate you coming on. Is there anything else you want to add, like, about your experience, about your time there, and anything else you'd like to add?
I don't think so. I think we touched a lot about it. It was a really rewarding experience, and I appreciate you for having me on.
Yeah, man, I appreciate you coming on. You know, if you win another championship, you might have to come on again.
Yeah, hopefully see you next year.
No offense. We'll see. Well, it's going to be an interesting year with all the new changes and everything, so it'll be a good year.
I'm excited. Take some getting used to, that's for sure.
Yeah. It is definitely going to be interesting, being able to, you know, play Texas in that, because who'd you guys say you're playing next year that's new?
I think we play at Washington and we play at home for Texas.
Okay.
I don't know if USC or UCLA.
We have Oregon. And I forget somebody else. I don't know. But it's going to be a fun year. And I don't know, Texas, I feel like, would be a stadium that I'd definitely like. What was your favorite state, obviously, other than the Rose Bowl and other than Big House, like, what would be like the other stadium that you were like, this is awesome?
Penn State, definitely. Yeah. just because the atmosphere.
Was it a whiteout too?
It was their stripe out, so okay. It's like I think they used their whiteout on someone else, but overall,
well, they always seem to use it against Ohio State. I can tell you that. When it gets so loud that you can barely hear the announcers on TV, that's when it's like, that's different. Like, that's just a different atmosphere. I don't know. That'd be... All those stadiums would definitely... I would never want to play in the Big House, like, as an opponent. I wouldn't want to play in the Shoe as an opponent. Mm-hmm. Penn State. I feel like... The funny thing is, Reno said, like, one of the toughest stadiums I think he played in was, like, LSU.
Really?
It was one of the SEC's.
He played at LSU?
He
played at LSU?
Yeah. He played Alabama, LSU, Ohio State. He played all kinds of people. He said he hates Ohio State, though. I don't know if you've ever heard the stories about Reno and Ohio State.
I think he told me about some of them.
Oh, he's talked about it on the podcast. Like, I brought it up because I'm like, all right, I got to know. Why do you hate Ohio State? It's essentially, he's like, the fans, garbage. The food, terrible. I'm like, you live here. He was like, the hotel staff, absolutely terrible. He's like, we had people flicking us off, and people were pushing the buzz. And I'm like, oh, my God, okay, Reno, whatever. But he hates Ohio State with a passion. We made a bet during the Ohio State-Michigan game, and I lost. So
that's how much you bet?
I think it was only like $10. I was just like, he commented on like a post that or my story or something, and I was like, $10, or put your money or mouth where your or money where your mouth is, and $10, and he's like, deal, and then we lost. I was like, shit. But Robbie, I appreciate you coming on, yeah. Man. Definitely be watching you and following your story, because it's definitely an experience that not a lot of people get to, you know, go through. So I appreciate you coming on the podcast, man.
Thanks for having me, Cole. Appreciate it.
But you guys know the deal. I don't have any announcements for today. I'll save the announcements for a later episode. But until next time, you guys know the deal. Life is hard, and it's going to knock you down just like a bull does to a bull rider. Don't let that bull of life walk all over you. Get up, grab a bull by the horns, and take control of your life. Roughnecks, out.